In June 2025, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced the Wasteful and Inappropriate Service Reduction, or WISR, model, which will expand the use of prior authorization requirements in traditional Medicare. Although addressing low-value care and wasteful spending in Medicare is important, care delays and denials for some of the covered services could cause considerable suffering for patients. I'm Stephen Morrissey, Managing Editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Michael Liu, a resident physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Liu has co-authored a prospective article about the WISR model. Dr. Liu, how has prior authorization typically been used in both traditional Medicare and other insurance programs in the past?
So prior authorization, as you mentioned, is a controversial process whereby providers must obtain approval from a payer before rendering a medical service. And so just to level set, the process starts with a provider identifying the need for a service, medication, or equipment, then submitting a request to the payer with detailed patient information and clinical documentation justifying the medical necessity of the service. Typically, the payer will review the request, which may take several days or weeks before making a decision to approve, deny, or request additional information. And as you mentioned, in theory, prior authorization is intended to control costs and prevent unnecessary care, though when in practice, it often creates delays, adds administrative burdens for providers, and can prevent patients from receiving timely and appropriate treatment. And so prior authorization has been used differently in different payer settings. And so traditional Medicare, the original government-administered health insurance program that covers primarily elderly people, operates predominantly in a fee-for-service framework. And so historically, very few services have required prior authorization within traditional Medicare. Instead, the program has relied more on post-payment review, in which services are delivered first, claims are paid, and those same claims are later audited for accuracy and compliance with coverage rules. And only recently has CMS, or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, introduced prior authorization for a limited number of services under traditional Medicare.
What were the goals behind implementing the WISR model?
So the WISR model was implemented by CMS given evidence that there is waste and fraud within traditional Medicare and also other insurers. But there is some evidence that traditional Medicare does have higher rates of waste and fraud relative to Medicare Advantage. And so the WISR was born out of the desire for CMS to help prevent some of this waste and fraud and abuse, to help reduce costs and ultimately increase quality of care for beneficiaries.
And then what services will WISR cover, and how will those prior authorization decisions be made?
The WISR model will start in 2026 and run for 6 years in six states: Arizona, New Jersey, Ohio, Oklahoma, Texas, and Washington. And CMS has selected 17 non-emergent services for inclusion initially. And this was based on evidence or prior classification as low value of these services, evidence of fraud or waste in the past, or that MA insurers currently require, or Medicare Advantage insurers currently require prior authorization for their use. And some of these services include deep brain stimulation for essential tremor and Parkinson's disease, vagus nerve stimulation for epilepsy, and percutaneous lumbar decompression for spinal stenosis. And in this case, under WISR, it's really unique because it is the first CMS innovation model where providers or healthcare delivery systems are not participants. Instead, there are private companies with experience using AI or machine learning to automate prior authorization requirements. And so under WISR, providers will submit prior authorization requests with documentation to participant companies directly or to something called the Medicare Administrative Contractors, who will then forward everything to these companies. And any decision for non-coverage will be reviewed by clinical staff members employed by these participant companies. And interestingly, WISR is framed as a voluntary model since providers can opt out and provide these services without obtaining prior authorization. However, in these cases, WISR requires claims to undergo prepayment review by model participants. So really, the trade-off is between is care or delayed or denied care or delayed or denied payment. And this could ultimately fall on providers or even patients if they consented to accept financial liability.
You've begun to answer this question, but how could patients be harmed by WISR's implementation?
Exactly. There's several conceptual and design flaws with the WISR model, and the core of which is the blunt expansion of prior authorization that's implemented with misaligned incentives and black box AI algorithms. The one perhaps most defining feature of WISR is that CMS will actually share a proportion of savings from care denials with participant companies. And so the potentially perverse incentives this creates is concerning because participant companies generate greater profits when more care is denied. And this is reminiscent of the experience in Medicare Advantage, given that Medicare Advantage insurers receive a fixed per-member payment and can increase their profits by reducing expenditures through care denials. And so not surprisingly, this has led to a significant number of inappropriate care denials in the past. There's data in 2023 in which more than 10% of MA prior authorization denials were appealed, and the vast majority of these were overturned. And so one worrisome sign is that CMS is planning to contract with many of the same companies that Medicare Advantage insurers have used, which raise real concerns that the same issues could play out again. And another issue is the reliance on unregulated and opaque AI models for determining coverage. CMS has not required any verification about the accuracy and validity of these technologies. We've previously seen significant increases in care denials within Medicare Advantage, specifically for post-acute care after the uptake of AI tools, which are actually the subject of several high-profile lawsuits right now. Furthermore, there are multiple examples in which AI and machine learning have perpetuated care biases through intrinsic algorithmic design problems or faulty training data, which in turn could leave vulnerable patients more likely to be denied care and the same patients who have fewer means to appeal and overturn inappropriate denials. And as you mentioned, most importantly, many of the services under the WISeR model and with more to potentially come could cause real pain and suffering for patients if they are ultimately delayed or denied.
And then in what ways might the model increase burdens on clinicians?
It's really hard to overstate the real human consequences of WISeR. For providers, prior authorization is really a massive strain, especially for smaller practices that don't have the staffing support or resources to manage it. Speaking from my own experience as a physician, it is incredibly frustrating to spend hours on paperwork and phone calls, so-called peer-to-peer prior authorization processes, and it's even more disheartening to see patients' care delayed because of it.
How have the medical and health policy communities responded to the announcement of this WISeR model?
I think definitely there's been mixed reviews from the overall healthcare policy community. A few months ago, several policymakers and members of Congress have actually sent a letter to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services outlining the same concerns that we've talked about inappropriate and perverse incentives and the fact that of using unvalidated AI algorithms in this care. Although I think some proponents of WISeR have applauded the goals of WISeR, which are to reduce waste and fraud, which are in and of itself worthy causes. But I think there are many ways that there's up to debate about the best ways to go about doing so.
So finally, what types of alternative approaches do you think could better balance those goals of reducing wasteful spending and improving patient care?
Yeah, there are definitely alternative avenues that CMS could pursue to achieve the goals of reducing wasteful spending and low-value care in traditional Medicare. One option is to use the current WISeR framework for prior authorization, but instead of handing those tasks to private participant companies, CMS could assign them to MACs. And MACs are, as I mentioned earlier, are Medicare Administrative Contractors, and they're currently the bodies that process the limited prior authorization that exists in traditional Medicare. But MACs are unique in that they're actually paid flat administrative fees, and so they don't have the same incentives to inappropriately deny care. In addition, there's a lot of evidence emerging that MACs are efficient and highly accurate with processing the limited PA requirements that already exist in traditional Medicare. And prior authorization itself is not intrinsically problematic and could actually work to reduce waste and fraud if implemented with evidence-based coverage policies and without perverse incentives. And another approach is really just to skip a blanket PA requirement altogether, as we mentioned in our perspective, and instead to pursuing targeted audits. CMS and MACs could use existing and validated definitions to identify low value or fraud in using administrative claim databases. And this would allow them to then pinpoint hotspots, providers, or hospitals where low value and wasteful care are being delivered. And this form of targeted auditing is already being implemented in traditional Medicare. The so-called recovery audit contractors who conduct post-payment review, they do so by identifying unusual billing patterns and inconsistencies. And this could then flag the same types of waste and fraud that WISeR is aiming to prevent.
Thank you, Dr. Liu.